So here in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul speaking, he said this. He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So we see here that Christ's body came up from the dead. His literal body came up from the dead. If you remember, he told his disciples, he said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." So his literal body came up out of the grave. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain." That's the importance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." The greatest news bulletin in history was, "He is risen. He's risen." And that's one of the resurrections. We talked about seven of them. One of the other ones we talked about was Christ, the first fruits. And that's those, that evening when Christ came out of the tomb, many graves around him were opened. And you find that in Matthew 27:50. And this is referred to as Christ, the first fruits. In Scripture, you'll see when it concerns the gathering together of the church, you have Christ, the first fruits. Then you have the harvest, which is referred to as the rapture, the gathering home of the bride of Christ. We'll look at that here in a minute. I've got time to look at that this morning. But Christ, the first fruits, you'll find in Matthew 27 and verse 50. I'll just read a few verses on that and we'll move on. But it says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open." Wow. "And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God." The Bible says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that, afterward it says, they that are Christ at his coming." Then we talked about a spiritual resurrection. That spirit that you were born with is dead. You are dead in trespass and sin when you are born. Adam was born with a live body, a live soul, or was created with a live body, a live soul, and a live spirit. But when he sinned, he lost his spiritual life. The Lord God withdrew his spirit from Adam and Eve. But then, after the fall, it says Adam begat sons and daughters after his own likeness, after his own image. And we are born in that image of Adam after the fall. Man is born with a live body, a live soul, but a dead spirit. And we talked about the way we know that. We know that it is he was told that he would surely die the day that he ate of the forbidden fruit. But his body didn't die, lived another 800 years. His soul didn't die, because the Bible says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? So he lost his spiritual life. That's why Jesus Christ is referred to in Scripture as a quickening spirit. He makes alive again that spirit that was dead in you the moment that you believe in him. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, or ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. That's a spiritual resurrection. And that's pretty incredible. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you hath he quickened. He hath made alive again who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past with the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. There it is. Both of those that we talked about, Christ and the first fruits, those were literal. This one is spiritual. And this is a resurrection, spiritual resurrection of the believer, being born again, born of the Spirit. There's a spiritual resurrection, and the other two are physical. Then we looked at the national resurrection. I won't spend much time with that. You find that in Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. God is not finished with Israel. As soon as a church is caught up to glory, raptured out, then it all the whole focus goes back to the nation of Israel, to the Jew. The Jew is the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Bible says in Romans 11:28, as concerning the gospel in the church age here, the Bible says of the Jews, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So God, in part, has given blindness to Israel. That's one of the mysteries that Brother Phil Gabbert has been preaching on. All right, I want to look at for a little bit on what referred to as the rapture of the church, the gathering out of the bride of Christ. You'll find that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Romans 8, and then we'll be in Ephesians 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay, this is Jesus Christ saying, come up hither, calling home his bride. That could happen today. It could happen any moment. In fact, the disciples, many of them were looking for his return then. That the imminent return of Jesus Christ is an important thing. And this occurs prior to the Lord coming back to this earth and setting up his kingdom. You'll notice in this resurrection, when the graves are open, Christ does not come back to the earth at that point. We meet him, the church meets him in the air. This is not the second advent. When you read of the second advent or hear preachers speaking of the second advent, that's when the Lord shows up and sets up his kingdom in the city of David in Jerusalem. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Graves are open first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When everything seems so crazy and life's going really going south on you, just remember, be comforted with the fact that the Lord's coming back. And He might come back before the day's over. Comfort one another with these words. The Bible speaks of the comfort of the Scriptures. In Romans 8, verse 11. Says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So this body of flesh that we live in is considered dead, but it's been redeemed. It's been bought and paid for. And we get a new body whenever we get caught up in the clouds, and we'll read that text here in a little bit. Let me turn my phone off. We'll get caught up in the clouds with the Lord, and we'll be changed. And I'll read that in just a minute. This body of flesh is dead, but it's been redeemed. It's been bought and paid for. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So after you get saved, you're supposed to glorify God in your spirit and glorify Him in your body. There's a perfecting of the saints that takes place, where God wants you to strive to live a holy life. Our bodies go to the grave. At death, when we die, the body goes to the grave, but they've been paid for, and the body doesn't get redeemed until Christ returns. We get a glorified body. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. A lot of things going on there. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And said, in whom that after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That verse indicates that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And another verse says, for we are those who are kept by the power of God unto salvation. Brother Gabbard was teaching the other night in the Bible Institute about that indwelling spirit, the mystery of the church, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, if Christ is in you, is He going to leave you? We become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. Another place He says, lo, I am with thee always. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's not going anywhere. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Nobody's going to pluck you out of the Father's hand. And the Lord said, I and my Father are one. You're safe and secure based upon the promises of God. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. If you remember that thief on the cross. Now initially both thieves, one on each side of the Lord. Initially, they both railed on Him, but one had a change of heart. And the Lord looked at that crowd crucifying Him that had done this to Him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, somewhere along the way, that one thief had a change of heart. You'll see in that story some repentance taking place. Repentance toward God. He told his buddies railing on the Lord, and his buddies said, hey, We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing amiss. So he started to come to himself. And he heard the Lord. He heard the word. He repented toward God. He heard the word. Then he reached out by faith and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Man, it'll be nice getting a new body. The greatest part about it is that new body, that glorified body, will not be subject to sin. Man, we're all a mess. Consistent prayers to God is, Lord, come quickly, because I'll find myself just wanting a body that isn't subject to all that craziness that goes through my mind and goes through your mind. Sinfulness, sinful thoughts, lustful thoughts, wicked thoughts, unclean thoughts. Wow. But it says we groan within ourselves, waiting to get rid of this old nature. And that's what it does. You get a new nature. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. The moment you got saved, you became a child of God. Isn't that what it says in John 1? It said he came into his own, talking about the Jew. And his own received him not. But to as many as received him, and that's the whosoever will, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So if you're saved here this morning, you're a son of God, a child of God. Now, for now, John said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll have a glorified body that will not be subject to sin. We won't have those desires and those thoughts going through our heads. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Hey, if you receive Christ as your Savior, then your body has been paid for with the blood of Christ, and the Lord will provide you with a new one. Like the lady is telling the preacher, I've told this over and over. When the preacher, where the preacher is preaching on, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the lady came up after the service and said, Well, preacher, what if you don't have any teeth? He said, Madam, the Lord will provide teeth for you. So, all right, in a moment, here it is. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, just like that. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Wow. It says, for this corruption must put on incorruption. Let me back up. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, This body of flesh that is subject to sin cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It gets left behind. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm not sure how that works out at the rapture when we're out of here. I don't know if it's a mess down here, those bodies. I don't know. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Here it is then back in our text. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body that's corruptible, this body of flesh that's corruptible, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What a wonderful thought. You know, I've had kind of a rough week. This week, a young boy from Versailles overdosed and died the day before yesterday. Trenton Bennell. He's Bobby Bennell. Raised that boy, Bobby and Anna, and I think it is her daughter's son, Regina, Gina Bennell. And boy, my mind went back over the years. Anna Bennell was a sparkling. They were all my neighbors, a whole bunch of sparkling girls. But a young man in his 20s, full of life and hope, and he overdosed and he died. One day this death is going to be done away with. Everyone in here, through our lifetime, we have to face loss. And when it's someone that we love, that loss is so tragic and so painful and so much hurt. How do you get beyond that loss? Well, you take comfort in the fact that it's not over. The Lord is coming back. Life is given. That soul that trusted Christ went directly to be with God. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But one day there's going to be a reunion with all those that we love so much that have died and gone on. That's a tragic thing about life, is the fact of having to deal with the death of those around us. My mama was almost 97 when she died. And most of her circle of people that loved her and that she loved, and her friends and acquaintances, most of those were already gone. She had to do her funeral after funeral. Her mother, her daddy, her husband. Man, that's a tough part of life. That's why we have hope. The righteous hath hope in his death, the Bible says. Jesus Christ is our hope. So even though we grieve now and we suffer, the Bible says, weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I have hope in Christ. If you're saved this morning, you have hope in Christ. Let me move on. Where was I? Two groups here. He said when he comes, there'll be people in the graveyard corrupting, and they'll come out of the grave. The grave loses the victory. That's the first group. O grave, O death, where's thy sting? Is the group that's alive when the Lord comes back. The group in the graves it's referred to as, O grave, where is thy victory? The grave got him, but the grave isn't going to hold him. The grave loses the victory. That's the first group. Then those who are standing here who will not be subject to death. They go up without dying. O death, where is thy sting? Christ said in John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, that's one group, shall never die. In John 11:25, he says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Two groups. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. There's two groups. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Death, the awfulness of death. I wonder, and I'm sure believers throughout the generations have pondered in their hearts, when Lazarus died, the Bible says Jesus wept. Wow. Perhaps it was the cost, the high cost of sin that results in death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That high price for sin. Said Jesus wept. The only other place that Jesus wept that I recall, there might have been a third place, but when he entered Jerusalem, he looked over the city and he wept over the city. The Bible says our Lord was acquainted with grief. He grieved over the death of Lazarus. Acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows. It probably hurt our Lord more than it hurts any of us because of that high cost of sin resulting in death. He paid the price because of that awful thing called sin that we many times look so frivolously on. Very flippant about sin. It's an awful thing. John 10:34. And he called his own ship. Or correction, John 10:3-4. And he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. My. When the Lord shows up, calls out his bride, man, that's one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible. And the Bible says there's a crown for those who love his appearing. We should love his appearing and look forward with great anticipation the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I come quickly. Long to see family members that have been buried, and we've stood at those gravesides and wept over them, and our heart is ached and hurt over them so bad. The text here says that we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You know, many times I believe we think that God is not interested in the little personal things about our lives. But it appears that he allows us to meet our friends and loved ones immediately. I wrote a song. I think I even lost words for a song one time about, if I'm by the graveside, if I'm by her graveside when the trumpets shall sound, we'll rise up together. to our home in the clouds. Wouldn't that be something? You're at the graveyard visiting someone you love, and all of a sudden that trump sounds, and that grave opens, and there's that person. Man, that's wild. But that's a possibility. That's a possibility. The last prayer in the Bible is, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." He said, "Behold, I come quickly." And MacArthur said when he left the Philippines, "I shall return." Well, the Lord said, "I come, behold, I come quickly." He's coming back, folks. There's going to be a resurrection. My, my, my. What a wonderful time that will be. What a glorious time that'll be. I remember all my uncles as a little boy that I grew so close to. My mom's brothers, Ralph and Harley, and I had an uncle Bryce and Millard, and a lot of them characters. As far as I know, every one of them trusted Christ for salvation. I won't say they lived sterling lives, but that isn't what gets them to heaven. What gets them to heaven, or got them to heaven, was believing on Jesus Christ, trusting Him. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's going to be a wonderful day, and it's all because our Lord rose from the grave. Grave couldn't hold Him. He lived a perfect, holy, faultless, sinless life. Paul said, "I find no fault in Him, not even a fault." He was a perfect sacrifice, a lamb without spot or without blemish. That's our Lord. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, it's going to be a wonderful time up there. My, my, don't put it off. So that's the resurrections. The last one we're going to save for another day. We talked about the resurrection of the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, that will show up during the tribulation. They will be killed during the tribulation, and then the Lord will raise them up again. Man, what a time. The crowd is getting so wicked now. And during that tribulation, folks are so against the men of God. They're out there preaching repentance. And that crowd is so against them. Said when those two witnesses are killed, that they rejoice, the crowd rejoices, and they send one another gifts because those two witnesses are dead. But they don't stay dead. The Jews thought they'd killed Jesus Christ, who threatened their religious position. But He didn't stay dead. Never saw corruption. Then the last one we'll look at, and we'll look at another day, is the great white throne judgment. If you're a Christian here, you bypass the great white throne, because your judgment for sin has been taken by Jesus Christ. He took your place in the judgment for sin. By His stripes, you're healed. But this last judgment we'll talk about is when all the graves are open and all the wicked dead, all the unsaved dead will appear before the Lord. And they'll be judged. What a sad time that'll be. Thank God for Jesus Christ that He took my place at this judgment. Oh, we still get judged. We get judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but it isn't for sin. Sin has already been judged on the cross by Christ for us. When we trusted Him, we appropriated that payment of sin in our place. We'll all give account to the Lord as Christians for what we did in our body, whether it be good or bad. And at that judgment, God looks at the motive for the things we did. Every man's work shall be tried of what sort it is. What motive? Was your motivation to bring glory to God? Man, I'm out in the field last night in my prayer walk. I'm out in the middle of the field across from my house. Just thought of what I'd have done different in my life. And there's a lot of things. A lot of people say, well, I have no regrets. Boy, I have. I've got a lot of regrets. All those years I spent trying to bring glory to me. All about me. The roar of the crowd. The applause of men. The praise of men. I have regrets. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, that we have forgiveness. And He says, as far as the east is from the west, so will I remember your transgressions no more. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you died for my sins. You died for the sins of the world, Lord, and we pray that all would come to repentance, Lord, and trust you before it's too late, Lord. Be with us today, Lord, as we continue with the worship hour. And hold me up by the power of your might. Use me, Father, as I hide behind the cross, Lord, to preach your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.